Welcome back to Pro Rodeo Game Day, round number 10. Brought to you by our friends at the 75th Annual World Famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. Visit Justin and the crew in Miles City for the 75th edition of the World Famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, May 14th through the 17th. I'm Jesse Knutson. Joining me on stage once again this year, the 10-time Wrangler National Finals Rodeo Bareback Rider and 3-time World Champion of the World, Tim O'Connell. And new to Pro Rodeo Game Day this year, he's a 10-time PRSA Linderman Award winner and the current head rodeo coach at Montana State University, Kyle Whitaker. Gentlemen, it is here. The day that dreams are achieved and dreams are crushed, we crown our world champions. At the end tonight, average champions will be crowned during the rodeo, world champions will be crowned afterwards, and let's just get into it. Last night, round 9, we talked about this the other day, that every day something was going to change in the world standings race. We saw last night in the Bronc ride, and Zeke Thurston comes down. We saw Rocker emerge again. What stood out from you last night, Coach?
Well, I kind of try to keep most of my thoughts here on the timed event in today. Tucker Allen just kept doing what he needs to do in the steer wrestling, on pace to be possibly the smallest world champion steer wrestler of all time. Placed again last night. Pretty much, if he gets a time tonight, he's world champion.
I have all insider trading information.
Right.
He has to catch his steer in less than 12.4 seconds. That's it.
Yeah.
And, like, there's 5 guys.
Who's the next?
We can get into this after. Yep. I guess I jumped. I got a little.
You're excited.
Okay. I'm excited. It's the greatest day in rodeo.
It is.
Yep. And then Schmidt and Torres in the team rope, they just keep doing what they're doing. They got fourth last night, winning the average. That stood out to me. And the tie down roping, Riley Webb, he's the guy that you have to beat him because he doesn't beat himself. And that's kind of like when I started rodeoing and going to pro rodeos on my own, I always watched Brian Fulton out of South Dakota because he made the NFR in the calf roping once, he made the NFR in the steer wrestling once, and he wasn't that big a guy, but what Brian Fulton did was no matter what he drew, you knew you were going to have to beat him because he was not going to take himself out of a chance to win, and he was really good. And that's what Riley Webb reminds me of. And then just my overall impression, not necessarily just from last night, but just from the whole week being here. This is the first time I've ever been here all 10 days as mostly a spectator, I guess. It's just how rodeo is finally, we've always had stars in rodeo, but I think now you see Stetson Wright, Kai Hamilton, Shad Mayfield. Those guys are huge stars around here. And it's not just the contestants, it's also the horses. I've talked about that before, but Virgil, everybody knows Virgil. Adios Pantalones and the Barrel Race, and those horses stand out and they have a following. And that is good for our sport because then when you know those contestants or those animal athletes are going to be at your rodeo, you're going to buy a ticket and come watch. And that's what we have to do to keep this sport growing and getting better.
Right. T.O., what stood out to you last night?
You know, what stood out to me was, I mean, kick it off in the bareback riding. Rocker got put in a corner. He answered the bell. You know, in a way, you know, if it would have ended round 8, Jess Pope would have been the world champ. Statistically, I kind of knew with 2 rounds left that was not going to play into Jess's favor. But that's probably the most pressure Rocker's ever been put under last night as far as this year goes. Mm-hmm. You know, other than his very slow start and then, but from Houston on, he's never really looked back. And then for him to get in a situation where, like, oh my God, I wouldn't be the world champion if it ended tonight. And then he answered the bell, moves up in the average. Big step in a big direction to kind of fulfill that family legacy, you know, 3 generations worth of gold buckles. And, you know, the biggest one to me is Zeke comes down. There wasn't a horse on this planet that I thought could get Zeke Thurston on the ground. I mean, he's so good. He's so talented. He's got ice water in his veins. And if it would have ended last night, the rights would go 1, 2, 3 in the world. Statler being the world champion, that means Cody's going to have 3 out of 4 sons with gold buckles. in the bronc riding. I mean, now you have to cement. I think it was already a thing before where you could say the rights were the, you know, you have the Eppauers and you have the rights in, but I think you have to say the rights are the greatest saddle bronc riding family in the, in the history of the game. And they're not done.
No, they're just getting started. And you look at like, I don't, you know, the money is so different. Like, you know, Billy, he was here till he's what, 42, 41, 42.
I think it was more like 44,
but like, I don't see any of the rights riding that long. Because they're all going to be millionaire, like, you know, Stets. They're going to all, every single one's going to be probably $4 or $5 million before they're 30.
You know, I mean, I think they're making close to that off endorsements anyway,
right?
Which they should, which is good for them. I mean, they're a team basically. None of them have like a separated out sponsor. They all wear. I don't know how they tell their shirts apart when they starch them, but you know, there's that. The bull riding. You know, I talked to Kai Hamilton last night. I mean, his knee is really jacked up. I mean, but if anybody can do this, it's Kai Hamilton. And he proved it when he won his world title in 2023, when he came out of the hospital and did all that. Imagine he's going to put a brace on. He's got a real chance tonight. I mean, Stetson having the bull of the year in the 10th go around too, that magic touch. I mean, there's still a chance that he could come through and get this done. And, you know, it would be Kai Hamilton fashion that he does it too. Biggest standout to me are those.
Right. Well, and so for me, the once again, like, we've been consistent. I think we've been consistently bad. I thought the judges were off last night. I thought they weren't consistent in the rough stocks. Once again, our production. We have a re-ride in the bull riding. We shut the lights, run the victory lap, all that stuff, and then buck them right afterwards. Like, I just think, like, to me, this NFR has been a disappointment as far as the production standpoint. And I know that has nothing to do with the contestants, but our judging has been bad, I think, hasn't been consistent this week. That's what has stood out to me. Like, last night was just another nail in how this week's been.
It hasn't been good. I mean, obviously, the Stetson Wright situation is probably the biggest blunder of the NFR. But it's been across the board. You know, they weren't consistent with this replay. There's, you know, missed markouts that didn't get called. There's markouts that got called. There's slaps that didn't get called. There's slaps that get called. Like, you know, they're not on point. They're not doing their job to the best of their abilities. And I don't want to keep ragging on the judges because nobody wants to do their job to begin with.
Right.
But like, we have to understand, like, I mean, there's some guys in the bareback riding, like Jess is looking to make $250,000 at the NFR this year. That's awesome. And when you can make that much money, the fee, like everything has to be done right. And like, there's a system in the PBR that works, and it works very good, especially with this quarter point system. You know, I liked it at first to begin with it, but I'm kind of with Kyle now. I don't think they understood the system well enough to put it in place the first time they're really going to do it, it's at the national finals, and they did it in Sioux Falls and nobody knew they were going to do it.
And they got it wrong in Sioux Falls.
We got it wrong in Sioux Falls and they didn't, you know, like, I'm going to throw this out there. That flag on Jess Pope, that could be the difference. And I mean, that was at minimum, he was going to win another $6,000 or $7,000 moving into the final four. That was a $23,000 potential flag that they cost him. If he had $23,000 more dollars in his pocket right now, he doesn't have to be in a situation where he has to win the go round. I mean, these are the repercussions of them guys not doing their job.
Well, and we talked about the triple down effect. Okay. So Jess wins money in Sioux Falls. That means those other guys don't win as much either.
Yeah. I mean, and it also changes the draw and the outcome of the draw as well. You know, like maybe Rocker doesn't get on Cosmic Stardust and Jess gets on Cosmic Stardust. And then like Rocker doesn't win 44,000 out of there. He wins 24,000, but Jess wins. I mean, the repercussions of them being sloppy does have implications on gold buckles. Once it always, this race, I know there's so much money out here and it's in every event, but it seems to be, it's the great equalizer because there's always a chip in a chair on the last day. And you can look back into the regular season and see where those bad calls played a part to where you're getting to round 10.
Mm-hmm.
And like some people are going to lose a world title by a few $1,000s tonight or a few $100s, you know, like in the bareback riding, you know, the guys that made the 16th guy in the world missed it by $110 this year.
Yep.
I guarantee RC Lanningham looked back on his year and knew where he had made 1,000 opportunities to make that $110 up. And
We talked about it last year. You know, Tanner Austin missed it by what, $800?
That the flag in Houston would have done it.
But okay, so now when he goes to California, if he's 85 instead of 84 and a half, he places a spot higher, gets it. If Richmond Champion doesn't come to where we were at in Indiana and wins the shootout round, that paid him $1,000. You know, he don't make it. Yeah, so there's, you know, you hear football coaches talk about it all the time. Like, that play didn't cost us the game because there was 59 minutes that we still could have played. But
the one thing I hope, this is what I hope happens. I hope they go back home. I hope they rewatch the NFR and they feel bad about what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope they don't go home after tonight and say, well, you know, they're going to get honest about something. This is just what happened. I mean, you have control of people's dreams.
Well, we've identified the solution. Now let's figure out, or we've identified the problem. Now let's find a solution to how we can make instant replay better.
Yeah. I don't know what I think the solution is. They got to get on terms with the PBR and figure out. I mean, one of our very best judges, Alan Jordan, is a replay judge over there. Like, you know, there was a whole ordeal between Alan doing the PBRs and the PRCA. He was one of the very best judges we had in the PRCA. Mm-hmm. And basically, the PRCA fired him. Now he is the main replay judge over in the PBR. Like, he watches more replay. I mean, he's been the main replay guy for 5 years over there. He replays everything down to the millisecond in the bull riding on everything. They have a system. They have they have everything in place. I don't understand why we would put our two head judges. I know who our two guys are in the box, and they're two of our better judges in the PRCA. I do not know why we would put them in a replay situation and not on the field.
Right. Well, and like we talk about throughout the course of the season in production, when like I'm for entertainment. We give the fans a lot of rodeo, but we need to entertain them. Like, and it's not always through roping and riding. Like, if you have a clown, let's let him be out there for 2 to 3 minutes, because no one's going to leave that rodeo and say, well, man, you know, they could have been done in 2 hours and 10 minutes, but that clown came out there and made us laugh for 3 minutes. No one's going to say that. No one's going to say, well, the NFR lasted 2 hours and 13 minutes and 47 seconds because they took an extra 30 to get the call right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
on the bad side of that, I got one more thing. Anthony Lucia did a great job out here, I thought. First time announcer at the NFR, it was a dream of his. I got to listen to him do a few times over there. I thought he did an amazing job at his first NFR. He was very well prepared. He does a good energy. I think those three did a great job of bouncing off each other and worked well. The announcer between Wayne, Roger, and Anthony, I thought they did a great job rocking the Thomas and Mac.
Well, it was cool to get change. Right. We had a new music director, and that's the second music director we've had in the last, you know, 5 years. It went from Benji, and then Hambone did it twice. And now Brad's, you know, did it this year, and he'll be back next year. And Anthony May is first time. And NFR gives other announcers and music directors a little bit of hope that they are going to change those positions up. All right. Time for our rodeo of the day. The 8th annual PRCA Extreme Bears and Broncs in Watford City, North Dakota, March 27th and 28th. And joining us on stage, Stan Headings from Headings Pro Rodeo and the producer from the PRCA Extremes Bears and Broncs. Stan?
Thanks for having me, Jess.
Yeah, thanks for doing it. And every year, you and the crew in Watford City get bigger and better. We started off as a one-day... Well, so you've been doing it for 8 years. Okay,
correct.
This is going to be our 8th year. And when you started it, it was non-sanctioned, but it was bareback style broncs and steer wrestling. And then when you came over to the PRCA, what was it, 23?
This will be our third year.
Yep, 23.
Yep.
It was just one night. We moved to the new building one night, and then last year it was two nights.
Correct.
And last year, 30,000 added per event. This year we're up to 40,000 added per event.
Correct.
And it's the largest two-day bareback and saddle bronc that the PRCA has to offer. And every year it's bigger and better. T.O.'s been up there. You've placed up there. And so, yeah, so just tell us kind of how it all came about.
Well, it's interesting. So, you know, they built a new building, like you said, 3-4 years ago there. But prior to that, they built a Rough Rider Center in Watford for the kids, for the high school and for hockey and things. So the old indoor building was utilized for ice hockey. And so when they didn't utilize it for the hockey anymore, they wanted to utilize it a little bit more for rodeos and other things. So they come to me and ask if I would put on an event there. And just to maybe utilize it a little more. And so we did. So we started, like you said, actually I had bull riding the first year. It was Bears, Bronx, and bulldogging is what it was. And that quickly changed to just the horse events, the Bears and Bronx and the bulldogging. And then it just kind of keeps growing every year. You know, it's amazing how the community gets behind everything. And it was interesting to me to realize that in the midwinter in North Dakota, people do want to get out and they do want to go watch something happen, right?
Right.
And so this event has been a lot for the community and about the community, you know. It started with a passion for bringing some entertainment and bringing the big name cowboys and to help the community. And so as we grow, we want to make sure we keep that.
Well, and every year since I've been involved, we don't take intermission, but we always kind of do a short pause between our championship round and our long round. And we always do auction and we always give back to a family in need. And last year, correct me if I'm wrong, but we raised close to like 20,000 in two nights for two different families, didn't we?
Yeah, we raised a gross of over 30,000.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, there just hasn't been a lot of profit in this event, but I want to help the community out. They've helped me so much and helped this event. And so that's what it's all about, is really helping the community out, help people out, right? So that's what we do every year. We stop and we sell a couple items,
mm-hmm.
and we give that money back to a needy family in Watford City.
Yep.
And the community's been great helping that out. But, you know, we sold 4 items last year and raised over 30,000. So that's pretty outstanding for the community.
And I know 2 years ago, Cade Sonnier donated one of his shirts from the NFR. And
Rody Wells.
Yeah, and it seems like the Cowboys, we don't ask them. But once they hear what you're doing and the rest of the staff and crew, like they donate stuff, don't they?
Yes. And it's huge. You know, that, like I said, it's the last couple of years, it's been to single mothers that have lost their husbands. And so, the one lady, you know, she was able to make her car payments, maybe able to make her house payments, things like that, that may or may not have happened. So to be able to help somebody out like that, like I said, at the end of the day, that's really what it's about.
Right. And so let's go back to the horse riding. So, you guys are part of a Smith Pro Rodeo 11-time stock contractor of the year. So they're our main contractor, but we had 6 or 7 subcontractors last year?
Correct. 6.
Yeah. And so and they're kind of all handpicked. And I was, we were talking about that the other day when Independence got turned out and some kid walked up on, got on Independence, who we've seen twice at the NFR this year. And once, so our format is every guy gets one head, and then we bring our top 4 back to our championship round for an additional bonus. And all that money counts towards the NFR and the world standings. And I know 2 years ago, didn't Richie win close to 8,000 or something? I don't know.
Correct. Yeah. And we'll have the same format this year. You know, each year we're trying to improve and trying to change things up for the better. So on the Cowboy side of things, you know, what we're doing this year is we're adding 40,000, but we're taking less entries.
Yep.
So instead of 50 guys, there's only going to be 36 guys. And so that'll obviously help the odds a little bit better. And we're going to do the same thing. We're going to bring 5-6 different contractors with their best sources. And we send the list in, and the Cowboys, them guys go through, Caleb and the guys, and they pick them on their side. And Bradley and their guys pick them, you know, so it's a great set. And then, like you said, it's not really a short round, but it's a championship round each night. And the crowd loves that. And it's, I want to pay good enough in the championship round, so it's worth getting on, right?
Yeah, because Dean last year got, so it was pretty cool because Risky Business, who we've seen out here the last couple of years, is was born and raised up in McKenzie County, and so we spotlighted Risky Business, and then we spotlighted Clay Jurgensen, Watford City Cowboy, that was in the top 10 at that time. And then in our championship round, Dean Thompson draws Risky Business and was 91.5 or what, and was
correct.
Was so excited because he'd never been on that horse. And yeah, and that crowd went nuts. And afterwards, Dean's like, man, I've never been a part of something like this.
Yeah, I know, it was pretty exciting the whole way through, you know, from the barebacks to the bronc ride and both nights. You know, it's not just one night.
Right.
Each night's a short go. But it gives the Cowboys an extra opportunity. So, you might end up not placing in the long round, because I take the top 4 from each night to the short round. you can end up winning 3,000-4,000 in the short round that night. So it's a little bit different concept, but it seems to be working so far, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Dean won it one night, and then Bryce Eck won it, and Wyatt Casper and Damian Brennan, you know, they each won it, and yeah, in their performances. But if I can ask one thing from you, I'm fortunate I get to announce it, but my buddy T.O. would like to get in it. He's entered it the last couple of years.
I was already going to bring this up.
He's got drawn out. He was there in the old building when everybody had to enter, and we had the little space heater in the locker room that was the size of this.
We actually have heat in the building now, permanent heat, the new
one. Yeah, Tim would love it. He wouldn't have to wear his long johns when he got on.
I mean, I get your qualification system, but like...
And that's not Stan.
I know that's not you. I know that's the PRC, and I know it's really on the bronc rider side is why you guys have to do that.
Yeah.
I wish the PRCA would be smarter at the end of the day. Like, we do have a lot of bareback riders going now, but like my situation, you know, I got to kind of start from scratch again. This is what I love about this event. I just want to throw this out there. Guys will enter this event and they will turn out of the short round of Austin to go to Watford City, North Dakota. You will get your draw for the short round of Austin. You will get your draw for Watford City, and you'll know there's going to be three or four guys turn out of the short round of Austin and they will go to Watford City instead.
It's happened every year.
Happened every year.
So as the producer, that's got to make you feel pretty good.
Well, it does, you know, and that's why we do the extra. We add the extra money and we get the great horses, you know. We want them good cowboys. When them sponsors come and help us out in Watford City and the crowd comes, you know, that's maybe the only place in the world that they can see Tim O'Connell live in person. You know, a lot of people, they don't go to the big rodeos and that are, you know, they don't leave Watford City for that. So that's who we want, is the outstanding cowboys, along with we want the local guys,
right?
You know, so that the permit guys, the local guys, you know, grandpa and grandma want to come see them guys compete against Tim and compete against these guys. So that's, you know, it's an interesting system, the qualifications, you know, how that all
it's
works.
It's a double-edged sword. You know, I think about that and you put it like that. I get it for the permit guys, but when you have a premier extreme event like that for barebacks, we just don't have them. We don't have enough. Like the bronc riders, they're a dime a dozen on these extreme events. Like, and they got enough that they don't even go to all of them. But the barebacks, we have Watford City and we got Darby, Montana.
Yeah, and I want to bring that up too, because we've talked about that this summer, how the bull riders and bronc riders always have more events. But what I thought was pretty cool is five bareback riders finishing the top 20 for money. So did you know that, like, five bareback riders? Because the back tags are awarded by most money won. So you could be a single event cowboy and have the number one back tag if you won more money. But five bareback riders were in the top 20. I thought it was pretty cool because they only have, like you said, two of those events. But so you're part of Smith Pro Rodeo, and big week for you guys. You know, they brought us our stock report. You know, Dream On won Rank Bull of the Night. Angel Cat, a horse that you guys know really well from up in your country, they won the third go, and both nights he was out, was marked Rank Horse of the Night. They won $73,000 on the back of Smith Pro Rodeo Livestock. But last Friday, you had the highest selling horse of all time, $186,000 and some change. God dang, it's going to be a good Christmas in Watford City, isn't it?
That was pretty special. You know, the whole day was pretty surreal.
Yep.
And to cap it off the way it did with Angel Cat, it was pretty special. But you know, you're just honored and blessed to own horses like that. And the opportunity we had, that horse was actually raised in Malta, Montana by Jim and Kelly Orhood. And we were fortunate enough to own him and progress him and kind of mentor him. It's just like any young horse, young kid, you want to put them in the right spot at the right time to help them progress. And so that's, you know, Russ and I try to do that to all of our horses and get them every opportunity they can to succeed. So to own that horse and progress him and see, you know, you see how he turns out. And then to have this happen here was quite an honor. And then, you know, interesting fact that day. So that horse, Big Time Secret, his great grandma came off of the Benny Binion Ranch, which the horse was at the Benny Binion sale. Well, that night when Benny Binion is honored in the arena, Angel Cat, they went around on that same bloodline, which also came from the Benny Binion Ranch when he sold out in Montana. And so, you know, it gives me goosebumps to think about that.
Absolutely, because everything had to line up just right.
It is. And the gentleman that raised that, you know, like I said, Jim and Kelly, you know, for them to get that buck on, to get that, they raised Angel Cat. And so for that to all make full circle, it's just, it's pretty surreal and pretty neat to come together like that.
Well, I got to say, like, you guys have a hole in the wall of animals up there. I mean, when you really think about, you know, you think Smith, you think Texas, but when you think about that ranch up there and what really comes out of there, I don't know why I'm blanking on the stud's name that I got on the round nine. That I won the round of clings.
Star Witness.
I mean, that to me, that will be one of the highlight moments of my career. And I say that on this aspect. Like, that horse, that was a re-ride opportunity.
Yep.
I researched that back. No one's ever won a round on a re-ride in the ninth go-around. And, like, that's just one of the horses that came out of there. You talk about Risky, you talk about Angel Cat, you talk about Independence, you talk about North Star. I mean, the list is going to go on and on and on. I mean, that is a honey hole of great bucking horses, bloodlines, and like the way you guys take care of those horses, the way you guys put them in front of us at the right time, you don't hide them from the best guys in the world. I mean, kudos to what you guys have going on up there, because it is so fun to go to them rodeos like a Watford City and know, like, I don't really have to worry about the draw. I just need to get there.
And that's what we want. I want every contestant that enters to have an opportunity to place or win.
Right. Well, and I brought it up with somebody. Well, actually I brought it up with Justin Rumford the other day, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but in today's world, like, a lot of companies have partners, you know, like bull guys or horse guys or whatever. And I've noticed there's been one stock contractor that his name is on the stock contracting car. But when it come time for the go round buckle, he let his partner on that horse or bull talk. And that was Smith Pro Rodeos. Where was Stace? He was back next standing to Ada, you know, and Riggin and Levi, they were behind Kid. He was over on the other side. They let Russ talk about that horse. And that's the only contractor that's done that all week. So, and it makes me proud that Smith Pro Rodeo wants to be a part of Pro Rodeo Game Day because of what you guys all stand for.
Well, they're such great people, you know, and that's how we partner with them guys, and such a great crew, you know, like you said, from Stace to Cody to Levi to Riggin and everybody involved that you didn't want to talk about. But, you know, I think it's a great partnership that seems to work out together, and, we've did some amazing things together, and I feel like it's just only going to get better.
So were you at the Thomas and Mack on Friday?
I was.
So when Angel Cat won the round?
I was.
So did you ride back to the South Point with with Stace and the crew?
No, but I did the night Tim won the round. It's pretty rank.
They said that ride, when Smith Pro Rodeo wins the go-around, the ride from the Thomas and Mack to the South Point, you better put your seatbelt on and the person next to you on, because it gets pretty wild.
It does.
I mean, that was a wild night just from the get-go, and I don't know what it was about it. I mean, I had a really good horse drawn in the long round.
J-Bar
horse that's now a really good saddle bronc, and she just had an off day. And to spin that around and get him. And there was something. Did Levi flank that night?
Yeah, Levi Riggin.
Yeah, Levi Riggin. One of them came up to me and and I was having a rough week too. And like someone just said, just air it out of him. Like, he'll take it. Just air. And like the way he was built, like my Riggin just sat perfect on him. And I knew when he hit and turned right, and I love horses turning back away from my hand.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you done messed up, AA Ron. Like, we're gonna get this now. And, you know, to hear the stories that came out of that night, the you know, seeing Kid, like, I got off the victory lap and Kid meets me in the hallway at the locker room and just big bear hugs me, you know, like, it was a special night, you know, for me. Like, that's one of my favorite round wins, one of my favorite all-time memories at the Wrangler National Finals, and something that literally hasn't been done. You don't normally win around, especially it's never been done in the bareback, especially in the hopper pin, that the back half of the rodeo. We took them horses out because, one, they thought he didn't want to take two trips,
right?
And so they made him first re-ride. Like, no one's ever want to go around on a re-ride in the hopper pin.
No. Well, Stan, we sure appreciate you, all the support you've given Pro Rodeo Game Day over the last couple of years, and myself. I'm glad that I get to be the voice of the 8th Annual PRCA Extreme Bears and Broncs. Visit them in Watford City, North Dakota, March 27th and 28th. in 2026. And thanks for all you do for not only me, but for the sport of rodeo and these bareback and saddle bronc riders.
Yeah, and thanks to you too. Thanks for having me on the show. And thanks for all you do for Watford City and when you come up there. And I appreciate everything you do.
Kyle, you want to say anything to Stan?
Well, for one thing, I'd say anybody, they got to be doing something right if you're going to Watford City, North Dakota, instead of Austin, Texas in March. Because I've been to both places, and Austin, Texas is a lot nicer that time of year.
It was so nice the one year I stayed an extra 2 days.
By choice.
Yeah.
But I was thinking when you were talking to Tim how you like to have more of a, you want to have some of the area contestants compete, that there are quite a few steer wrestlers from that area, so you could have that in there too, you know.
And we did, and you know, Watford City in that area loves their bulldogging. Yeah. And I love that event, everybody does, and it just got to be a little bit too much when I sanctioned it. I had to take a minimum amount of entries. Prior to the PRC, we had bulldogging every year, and I would only take like 10 24. Or 12.
Yeah, we had like, and then had a four-man short
run. It was
run.
Great. We'd run four or five steers the other end while we reloaded the chutes. Yeah. And it was pretty rank. We had some pretty awesome bulldoggers that showed up for that bulldogging.
Yep.
That's it was good.
Pretty fun group of guys in that area, too.
Yes.
Well, Stan, once again, Ada, thank you guys for swinging by. And once again, Stan, thanks for everything you guys have done for us.
Thank you, too. Appreciate you having me.
I'm probably going to get drawn out, but I will try to get to Watford City if I can.
Well, that was our rodeo of the day, the 8th Annual PRCA Extreme Bears and Broncs, March 27th and 28th in Watford City, North Dakota. And our friends at Smith Pro Rodeo, your 11-time PRCA stock contractor of the year. Their year ended last night. Dream On was marked rank bull the night earlier in the week. Angel Cat, two times that horse was out. Rank horse both nights. They won the third go in the saddle bronc ride. And Smith Pro Rodeo stock had taken the Cowboys to $73,237 this week. Round recap brought to you by our friends at Ranch and Company Interiors. Visit them downstairs in booth 839, custom-made furniture. If you can dream it, we can build it. Let's talk about tonight, Tim. All the storylines that are going to unfold here tonight, the storylines that unfolded last night, the bareback, three guys basically have a shot to win the world title. Sam Peterson, Jess Pope, Rocker Steiner, Rocker's in the lead. That's where you want to be coming into the 10th round, right?
Truthfully, too, I mean, he's done everything right this year. He got himself in a situation where he opened the door up where Jess would have been the projected world champion after round eight. But I had that happen to me one time too, and I was glad it's a 10-round fight. You know, you see that kind of stuff. You open the door, and you open the door for a guy like Jess Pope. The way that he got through the average Rocker this year, you know, it wasn't pretty, but he is gonna get an average check this year. I'm almost sure of it. Him and Disco Party have gotten along before. That's what he won Pinocchio on this year. Disco Party was fantastic. One of the very best horses out in the first opening round. You know, Jess, basically it's a 3-man race, but it's not, you know.
Yeah, because Jess and Sam need Rocker. Rocker cannot place in the round.
Yeah, I mean.
And he can't move up in the average.
Basically, like when I look at my cheat sheet here, the most likely path to victory for Rocker is just to finish ahead of Sam or Jess in the 10th round. You know, for Jess to win the world, he has to win the average, which he's going to tonight. I mean, he's going to win his fourth average out here in, I believe, six or seven years, which is insanity to me. I wish I didn't teach that kid so much about riding bareback horses. And Rocker can't, like for Jess, he has to win the average. He has to win round 10, which he does have a big shot with Top Notch. I've been on this horse in round 10. This horse brings it.
And that's the only time Top Notch is out, right?
Yeah, I mean, we book him one time out here because he's going to give you his best one time, and then he's going to turn into an E-pinner. So we save him for the 10th round. He's going to come out. He's going to swoop one big one to the left. He's going to go straight down. He's going to jump and kick. Jess is going to be 90-something. I mean, I do think Jess is more than likely going to win this go-around on Top Notch. I think, but, you know, for Jess, Rocker can't earn a go-around check. He can't move up in the average either at all. He has to stay in a tie for fifth or lower in the average.
Well,
I just don't see it. I don't see Rocker not getting a check on Disco Party.
And the thing is like, so Rocker and Bradley Miller are split in fifth and sixth right now. They're at 754.5. Wasey is at 754, and then Garrett is at 752.75. So if he messes up just a little bit and Wacy and Garrett can pass him and Jester Sam win the round, but the stars have to align.
The stars have to align tonight. There's a really good chance Wacy and that Resist All Secrets out, that's going to fit Wacy to a T. Fringe Jacket, very cool horse. As well, Shad Bolt's been riding really good this week. I think that's going to be around the 87, 88 and a half range, where if they judge it correctly, probably shouldn't get a check. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, even with Sam too, you know.
Well, and Bradley.
Sam has to win the average and round 10 and have Rocker not get a go round truck and have Rocker finish lower than six in the average. I mean, Sam's had a fantastic year, but he's probably not going to win the world. Because, one, he's not going to get around Jess Pope in this average.
But no, not on paper, but we've seen stuff happen.
I mean, we've seen it.
Because, I mean, like, remember, like, what, 2 years ago, Jess had Gunfire. Everybody would have bet their ranch on that horse. Stuff happened in the chute.
Stuff happened in the chute. You know, things outside. But, like, here's the difference between then and now, because what we've seen. Jess has got a backup rigging. If something happens to a rigging in the buck and shoot, he's going to pull his rigging off, go put the backup
on
there.
I was just going to ask, today, do every bareback rider take their backup rigging to the chutes with them?
The veterans, they have it sitting there ready to go, at least. Like, it's not something like that's sitting there as a rigging in a hold. You know, there's a handful of guys down there that have a rigging with a pad, and it's padded up, it's latigoed up, it's ready, it's got the gloves set up, like, to where if something does happen in the chute, you start yelling at guys, go to my bag and get my backup and bring the glove with it. You know, like,
so when you were here, was your backup always ready?
No, it was ready but every time I competed here, I knew another lefty that I could work with, you know, like a Clint Lay or a Tanner Oss. Like we all rode very similar equipment that if something did happen, we could swap one to the other. And we kind of made that kind of pack earlier.
So being that it does happen, you know, here that, because it happens a lot throughout the course of the year, but like being here, I would just think that you would always have A and then B right there in case something does happen.
I mean, you have it normally back at your hotel or in your car because like that locker room's not very big and everybody likes to hang out in the bareback riders locker room because Stay Smith has the bar in there, you know, so like there's not a whole lot of like room in there just to have extra equipment, and like it's just scattered mess everywhere. You know, if you pick your bag up, there's a rule, if you pick your bag up and close it, your stuff will be scattered throughout the Thomas and Mac. I mean, there's still plaster on the wall where they glued Cimarron Gerke's boots to the ceiling. I mean, like,
well, and in the 10th round, the bareback riding room after the 10th round, that is like a Jerry Springer meets WWE.
Well, it starts in the bareback riding and it ends up in the bronc riders locker room because they have two rooms connected, and then it turns into round 11 is what we call it. And if you got an issue with somebody, it is taken out in round 11 in the bronc riders room. It's wrestling matches though.
So I remember Fred got kicked out of there a couple years ago because he put some on Snapchat.
Yeah, you can't be Snapchatting. Fred got a fine from us, and he's no longer used. He's no longer having that.
All right, the bronc riding, like Zeke come down, that opened it up for Statler to win his first world championship.
That was the most surprising thing to me. I just never thought that. I didn't think there was a horse in the world that could get Zeke Thurston on the ground. I mean, I think he still is the greatest bronc rider ever that we are watching his career play out. I mean, 56 rides at the NFR in a row without a mistake. To that happen, but then you have to go to the other side. You know, now we're looking at the greatest bronc riding family ever. And I was thinking about this last night. I feel bad for Rusty Wright. You know, all three of his brothers are going to have world titles after tonight, more than likely. I mean, that's I don't know. That weighs a little heavy on me. That I feel bad for Rusty in the sense that, you know, he's the only one that isn't going to have a gold buckle. Yeah, and he's the oldest.
Yeah, and how old is that? Like 26?
20.
He's not very old.
He's not very old. I mean, but I mean,
a lot of chances.
Yeah, a lot of life left in him too. And here's the one thing, and Rusty's pretty public about it now. He quit drinking, and he is riding a ton better too. So I mean, he's been riddled with injuries too throughout his career, like bad injuries, and he's getting plates and rods taken back out of him now that, you know, so we could see all four brothers here next year.
Well, and I think it happens. You know, you hear a lot about guys that overcome adversity from not just in the arena, but outside the arena. But yeah, I seen that too, that he quit drinking, lost some weight and kind of changed his life around.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing that Tim McGraw thing the other night and, he said, you know, I just had to quit drinking. I just had to look myself in the mirror and realize that I just wasn't a good person when I was drinking too much. And he goes, now I'm like, I thought I was just beat up from rodeo. Turns out I just had a ton of inflammation in my system from drinking every day.
Speaking of Tim McGraw, did he buy that shirt from you or did you give it to him the other night?
I gave him that shirt 8 months ago when we were doing promo stuff in Nashville. And then what was funny is he had it tailored fit to him. Like, and then remembers to bring it out. I do want to say this guy is truly the salt of the earth. He's a great human being because if you've noticed in the steer wrestling, they're all wearing blue feathers for Dixon Metzger, 8-month-old boy of Cody and Sam Samantha Metzger. He had he went down for a nap 2 weeks ago on Monday, and he never woke up. You know, he ended up having a rare case of SIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And I was texting Cody. He didn't want to pick the phone up. He said, you know, I just can't talk on the phone right now. So we were texting, and he said, I thought it was so cool that we're picking music out for the funeral, and we're gonna play My Old Friend from Tim McGraw, and then we flip on the TV and there you are with Tim McGraw. I just caught that as a sign. And so I reached out to Tim, and he made a video for Cody and Sam.
Oh,
like it's about a 30-second video just expressing, you know, his, you know, he's just a good person. I don't know, like for him to do that, take his time, like that's a superstar to do that, for him to take the time and just write a message. He just said it of encouragement. And,
right.
You know, I sent it to Cody last night and he said, you know, with everything going on, it just makes me want to wear a cowboy hat even more. You know, it just, a lot of people have stepped up to the plate and done really nice things in tribute to Dixon.
Speaking of steer wrestlers, you talked about it before, Tucker Allen's, it's his to lose, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure looks like it. He's been just doing what he does all year, doing it right here on the big stage. And I guess I keep saying it, but I think it's a pretty big deal that a guy his size can be a world champion. And also the last steer wrestler that he would be like in contention with for the same size would be John W. Jones out of California. So that's a pretty good storyline. It's really, you know, there's a lot of guys we've been pulling for all week. Some of these guys, I'm just going to say some of them haven't had the best goes at cattle that they probably needed to have a chance. And
well, yeah, it drawing the right livestock is so important in the rough stock, but it's also very important in the timed events too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is. And honestly, the steers have been, I thought, pretty even. Like every performance, I'd say there's maybe three or four you probably don't want to have, but the rest of them are good chances. So, and like you say, what you really look at, especially I noticed it the other night because my seats were up high right behind the timed event sheets, and you can see when the steer wrestling horse beats the Hazen horse out. And I know, I mean, that is a terrible feeling when you're on the Hazen side and you get beat because you cannot slow that steer down enough for the guy. You know, that's the difference between winning the round and sixth in the round, or winning. If you got one, you can win third in the round on, you might not place because you got to run him an extra jump or two. But we see the guys that have been getting the good looks and they're the ones that are consistently winning and are up there. And Tucker is consistent. He's also hazing for Justin Schaefer, who won the round last night. And I was thinking about that a little bit. I haven't mentioned that all week, but you've got Justin Schaefer hazing for Tucker hazing for Justin Schaefer. I think when you haze, sometimes in a rodeo like this, like you want to be dialed in and ready to bulldog. But sometimes when you go and haze a steer before you bulldog, that kind of breaks the ice for you. So then it's like, okay, it might get your mind off of it. And then you just got to get on. And it's almost like you've already ran one. So I think that works in their favor too.
Well, and so Will Loomis will be the last guy that we watch tonight. Tio, is he ready for this week to be over?
I mean, I think so. I hate it for him. I mean, it's just he's gonna go last, and this will be the last day that he'll be number one in the world too. I mean, the only way that he can win is he has to win round 10 and Tucker miss and have Rowdy miss and Stetson miss and JD catch.
Yeah. I mean, he's
just not going to happen. I,
and you know, that's the deal. Like, Will, he's still not going to have the gold buckle after this year, but he's one of those guys that every time you see him at a rodeo, he's got a good chance to win it. You know, like, if you're winning a rodeo and Will Loomis is the only guy left, you're like, well,
I will say this. This wrestling, though, this is the weird, weird stuff happen in any other event. If there's going to be something happen in a weird way, it's going to happen in the steer wrestling.
Yep. And this is a tricky setup. And they don't, you know, it used to be they could double jump them. So then they at least could say in the average, but they got to where they didn't. They voted not to do that anymore. But of all the, I mean, the team roping's tough. If they get over in the wall, it's tough to get faced. But steer wrestling, it's just so hard for that hazer to get, when you're going before the steer, when the bulldogger's going before the steer, sometimes it's almost impossible for a hazer to keep up. And it's just so easy. I mean, we saw Chance Howard the other day, his hazer's horse popped up. And he placed on that steer without a hazer. I mean, the hazer was not even in the ballpark, and he still won, I don't know, second or third in that round. There's just, when you're in a small arena with fast steers and a fast start, the odds of something going bad go up.
Well, and then the team roping, Colton Schmidt, Jonathan Torres came in 14th, 15th, went in the average. They placed again last night. It's probably a lot harder to say it than do it. Than sometimes all you gotta do is catch.
They have to do it in less than 7 seconds. That's
it. And like you've been there. Like, all you gotta do is just get a score. Sometimes it's
harder than you think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Look at what happened to the American. All they had to do was catch, but like they don't know how to safety catch. You know, like they don't train to safety up.
Yeah, and like you guys said, like, I've been in positions like that. Sometimes that's the hardest. Would you know that I just got to go out and get a time, and instead of being aggressive and doing what you do to win, you kind of back off a little bit and try to make, you know, you try to have a good, safe practice run kind of in your repertoire so that when you have to do that, you have a run that you're comfortable with, a start you're comfortable with, and you have the mechanics down where you can just blank out and do it. But sometimes you take the foot off the gas too much, and then that backfires on you. That's honestly, that's the only thing they've got to battle against today, I would say.
Yeah.
And that's tougher than it looks. I mean, I've been in that position a lot where it's cost me too. Yeah.
And in the bronc riding, the guy that we haven't really, he's number two in the average. He's probably not going to win the average unless something major happens, because he comes in 9.75 points behind. But Lefty Holman, like, he's just been showing up, doing his job. He's only gotten
chopping wood, baby.
He's only gotten three checks, and they've all been lower place checks. He has a rematch from the horse that he won the round on last year here, the Black Tie.
The Black Tie.
Thank you. It's the. You know how Rump says it? The. I'm like, no, it's the. It's the Ohio State. It's not the Ohio State. But so, you know, Lefty won this round a year ago on this horse. Like I said, he probably knows he's not going to win the average, but he's got a chance to go out with another go-around buckle just like he did a year before.
Go-around buckle, huge average check. He's going to, you know, frustrating week when you come in here and you don't get check after check in the rounds, but then all of a sudden when they hit your bank account and there's six figures come in there, had a pretty darn good week.
And tonight, last time we get to see Virgil in the arena.
Yep.
A lot of horses retired this year.
Yep.
You know,
but I mean, I think what they say when they introduced Virgil the other night, like, he's had the most 90s on him of any horse.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that the first time he bucked in this arena is when I got on him and tied the round record.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that the other day. And that was 8 years ago.
And that horse is just, he's been amazing. And so that's kind of an end of an era there tonight. And so,
you know, the saddle bronc riding, you know, Stetson and Zeke and Damo are mathematically are pretty much eliminated. But Ryder could take this from Statler.
Yeah, because he's eighth in the average right now.
Yeah, he has to win round 10 and Statler has to finish six or worse than round 10. And Statler has to finish fourth or better in round 10 and win the average to win the world.
And Statler has a horse they won the fifth round on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch. There's another horse of C5's out tonight, Shattered Lunatic. There are a lot of points on that horse when it goes out during the year. I don't remember seeing it out in the fifth round. Brody Wells has that. So that's one to keep an eye on. That's a really good horse.
In the tie down roping, we could be seeing the start of a dynasty right here with Riley Webb.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, he's real close to getting three in a row. And how many guys did they say have done that?
The only one, if he goes three in a row, the only person Roy Cooper won five in a row.
Roy Cooper and Dean Oliver.
Yeah.
Has won five in a row. And Dean Oliver has the most world championships with eight.
That's one, pretty rare.
He could have
there.
Three at 20. He could have three at 22.
And like you say, the deal about Riley Webb is he's not as flashy as a lot of those other guys. He just takes care of business and wins. And, but now I think everybody's starting to get on the train now, the Riley Webb train, because we see how good he is and how consistent he is. And we've just seen everybody else that had a chance to put the pressure on him. And they've made mistakes and Riley Webb's still standing.
And barrel racing, Cassie Maury, she's number one in the average. She has about a 2.4 second lead over Julie Plour. Cassie's just going to leave off. She go a little bit wide just to make sure they're all up.
Depends on who she runs tonight. I mean, truthfully, I mean, I think now you have to start talking about her. I mean, they already called her the greatest. I mean, I think she just has to have a clean run. Mm-hmm. So really, it's a two-girl race because Brittany Posey Tanazi has to win round 10. And win the average, and have Cassie knock two barrels on her run. And that's it. I mean, this is as sewed up can get right here.
Yeah, and she's such a good jockey. I mean, how many different horses has she ran at the NFR? Not just this year, but...
And left the reigning like world champion year. Horse at home. Yep. You know, like, and the other one, that Cornbread, you know, she just got on him 2 weeks ago for the first time.
Believe that. Dustin Nelson's son, Corey Christensen, I think he has a thing to do with that Cornbread, like his rides him or trains him or whatever. Because they went to watch the other night and they were with the buckle.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that either. But
Dustin will let us know if we're right or wrong on that one.
Yeah. Dustin, call into the show here and let us know.
Yeah. Bull riding, it's unlike last year when Justin McKee said that it was all wrapped up going into the 10th round, it's not wrapped up because three guys have a shot. TJ Gray, Kai, and Stetson.
Yeah, I mean, if Stetson rides his bull, is over. But, I mean, he's got a bucker in that magic touch tonight. You can't bet against Stetson Wright on anything.
No, if Stetson's 100% healthy, hands down, I would bet money, a lot of money on this because – it's a rider-friendly bull for being bull of the year. They've ridden up six times this year. But TJ Gray, if he's the only guy to ride.
Yeah, TJ Gray has to win round 10 and have Kai buck off and have Stetson buck off and have less than six qualified rides because he needs ground money.
Mm-hmm.
And Kai, he has to win round 10 and have TJ buck off and Stetson buck off, and that's it.
Right.
I mean.
But Kai's got a torn ACL.
He pretty much blew that knee out last night.
The word is that he's going to put a brace on and ride with.
Yeah, he's going to tape that knee up pretty heavily, put a brace on, more than likely put a paddle on it, and then we'll see what he does with that knee after the NFR.
So the last time these bulls have been out, they rode six. Kai's got Badlands from Silver Creek Pro Rodeo. Josh Walling and the crew out of Ohio, that was a bull that they were 89.5 to win second on. the other night, Bryce Jensen. Stetson's got the Buck and Bull of the Year Magic Touch from Sankey Pro Rodeo and Phenom Genetics, Matt Sharp. Matt Sharping in the crew. Yeah, Hudson Bolden's got Shot in the Dark. One, the only time we're going to see this bull this week, he was a re-ride. They, Cooper James won round five on him a year ago. Kind of a rider, rider in Hayes Waite. Guy that last year was the only one to ride and won 108,000. He's got Kingdom from Cowtown Rodeo that Kai Hamilton rode the other night for 89.5 to split third and fourth.
I think it's crazy with the quarter points that we have a tie in the average right now with TJ Gray.
No kid.
And Kai Hamilton.
See, I called it right off the bat.
What was the official terminology?
The fraction is a distraction.
The fraction is a distraction. All right, gentlemen, well, let's get into it. Our final chance for the Wildside Rodeo Company picks of the night. Chase Love and Caleb Barrett from Wildside Pro Rodeo bringing us our picks of the night. $500 is what each of us will pay to the winner, their charity of the choice. I am playing for the Manawa Junior High School Rodeo. Tim's playing for Wisconsin High School Rodeo. And Coach Whitaker is playing for Montana State University Rodeo and a bareback riding school from Tim O'Connell.
See, this is why I got to pick an extra bareback rider, because you're doubling down. Not only are we going to have to pay to Montana State, but then I also have to come do a school.
Well, you know, and so he came over and watched the watch party with us last night. He is still complaining about you having two picks that night. I said, no, that's not complaining, because he gave us inside information that says, hey, he might not get out on this horse. If he doesn't get out on this horse, then I want to pick this. You can't say, well, if this guy breaks the barrier, like he, in front of his daughter last night, he was crying about it to you.
That's all right, guys. I have faith in my picks for tonight. So
So we did do it, because, so this is how it, Kyle's got seven, T.O.'s got seven, and I got four. And we, before the show, we flipped coins, even though Kyle had to keep, we had to keep Kyle under watching guard. Tim, you did win the tiebreaker. So, Tim, you'll get to pick first today. And we started with the bareback ride.
Oh, you know, as this order goes on, I look towards the bottom. You know, I see Jess and Top Notch could be huge. Sam's got a pretty nice horse. Rocker's been 91 on that horse before, had a super good day. But Cooper Cook and Nightcrawler, I thought Nightcrawler was off in round five. But when she gets started, and the way Cooper Cook rides, they're going to win five go-rounds in the last 3 years. Cooper Cook and Nightcrawler is my pick.
You didn't see that one coming, did you, Kyle?
No, not really. although I did call him. I mean, I called him as my sleeper last night.
We talked about him last night, yep.
I think my heart took me to a different place yesterday, knowing that no whiskey was really stinking good. I should have known better.
Yeah, it's hard not to go with your heart sometimes on these. Man, I think I've rode with Sam Peterson all week, but I just think if Rocker's sitting there with nobody taking him, I'm gonna pick Rocker.
Well, last time this pen of horses was out, it took 87.25 to split fifth and sixth. Just looking down, like, Dean Thompson has not had the week that a defending champion wants. He's got Stevie Nicks, the horse that Rocker rode here in the last round. Horse that you've set an arena record and world record on in San Angelo, right?
Yep.
Cade Sonnier's got the bucking horse of the year, Lunatic Heaven from Brookman. Horse that we'll probably see at Watford City next March. I've been picking, like, I really want Dean and Kay to do good, because I think those are both great kids. Wasey, I don't know if Wasey's riding as strong this at the end of the week as he did the beginning. I'm going to say Cade Sonnier gets it done and they win the second round. The second time this horse is out, they're going to win the round on Lunatic Heaven. All right, Kyle, you get steer wrestling.
I get to kick it off in the steer wrestling. Okay, so the 10th round is a little different. This year, we don't have two guys necessarily battling it out, like whoever wins around is going to win the world. So I think you got to pick somebody that's been getting good goes all week that maybe doesn't have a lot to lose, but is also in the average. So they're not going to just tear the barrier down. I've rode with this guy a lot all week too. I think I'm going to go with Jesse Brown again.
Well, Will Loomis is last. Tucker, Ty Erickson's 14th. I'm going to say Tucker Allen puts the exclamation point on his world championship. He really has a little bit to play with, and I don't think there's anything better. T.O., you've been there. When you win the 10th round, win the average, and win the world, you get the trifecta.
Yeah, it's really great. Who did you take?
Jesse Brown.
Yeah.
You know what? He came in number one in the world. He has not had the week that anybody expected him to have. But Will Loomis, big Will Loomis, is going to throw that one down, finish off an NFR with a go-around win.
Team Rope, the last team we're going to watch is going to be Schmidt and Torres. When all you got to do is catch and you're the last team to go, we're going to see if they can handle the pressure or not. But I think the team that's going to put the pressure on them is going to be the team of Clint Summers and Jade Corkill. They haven't had the finals that they wanted, but I think tonight they get it done and go out as a 10th round champs. Timmy?
You know, they came in as the best team in the world and have proven it time and time again. And they have a mathematical shot to win again tonight. They have to have some luck go their way. They need them guys to miss. But Caleb Driggers and Junior Nageda, if they have a clean shot, they have a good steer, they're going to take it. And Junior's going to lay back for Jesus, and they're going to go to get a go-around buckle and world titles.
Coach?
Okay, this is kind of a landmine because you want to take somebody that's going for the round, but they're not just going to sling it and do something stupid. To me, the two teams that I've watched this week that I thought were being the fastest were the Grahams out of Canada and Luke Brown and Trey Yates. I'm going to go with the Canadians, Dawson Graham, Dylan Graham.
All right. T.O. takes us back to the buck and shoots and the saddle bronc riding.
One last time. In the yellow buck and shoots. Damo, The Verge. I thought he should have been 90 in round five with Brody Kress. That style, that power. He's probably going to be mad when he gets in the buck and shoots tonight and put his head down and go left. Damo's going to take Virgil out on top.
Yep.
Coach?
That was going to be my pick too. And you want to see Virgil go out with it. But also, Statler Wright's got a world title on the line. He's on the horse that they won the 5th round on. I'm going to go with Statler Wright.
Well, Lefty Holman has a rematch on the black tie. I thought that horse was off the other night. He's going to be 4th out. You know what? I'm going to go different. Last night he lost his world championship. I think Zeke Thurston and Mary Lou comes back. It's hard to keep Zeke down. I think Zeke gets a go around win tonight. All right, tie down rope and coach.
Ooh, I get to pick first in that. Same thing. I think, I don't know. Riley Webb winning the average, I could see him just going to make sure he gets him tied down, and I could also see him winning the round with it. Joel Harris and Kincaid Henry have been lighting him up in the rounds this week. I picked Joel, two or three nights in a row. I'll switch it up. I'll go with Kincaid Henry.
There's a kid that's got a real chance at the average. And John Douch He's going to win the go round. He's going to put the pressure on Riley. And I think John Dauch not only wins the go round, but he's going to be fast enough to win the average as well.
This should be the nice set of calves again, I believe, that are coming through. Joel Harris has looked lights out this week. So fast from the time he gets done. I really wanted to pick John, to be honest with you, but I'm going to go Joel Harris. You can get 3 round wins this week.
Barrel racing. Haley Kinzel will be the first one out. Cassie Mari is going to be 13th. She's just missed winning the last couple of rounds. I'm going to go out on a limb. Haley Gibson Stillwell is who I'm going to pick. All right, left her for you. 10th round, Tim.
10th round, top of the ground. I mean, I thought about going against it, truthfully. I mean, but I just can't do it. I got to take Sister and Haley for round 27 in their career.
And nope. Who knows? I mean, that could be Sister's last run in here. We never know. I would like to take Adios Pantalones, but Carly Otero.
She's either hit or miss.
When she's Ricky Bobby, she's either first or last. I'm going to Carly Otero. Because we're playing first or last.
Playing for bareback riding school is what we're paying for. Yeah. All right, Tim, bull riding.
You know, Kai's my little buddy. You know, I've done some stuff with Kai. You know, sat in the hospital with him when he was almost septic and dead for a week. Lived at Cody Lambert's house with him for months while we were both rehabilitating. But Stetson Wright, magic touch. It's what dreams are made of. Bucking Bull of the Year, Superman himself. If I'm going to be first pick, I just can't bet against Stetson. In that scenario, that is what that's the Lane Frost Red Rock scenario. So, like, you know, like, you can't not.
So how cool would it be if TJ is the only guy to ride coming down to Stetson, and Stetson has to ride him to win the world?
I'd still bet the farm on Stetson, right?
Wouldn't that be cool?
I mean, it would. I don't think it'd be super cool for Stetson. I know how Stetson would probably be feeling in that aspect, but this is what rodeo is all about. This is why we have a 10-round final. This is why it comes down to who wants it more. Man, like, what Stetson's gone through this week, I think this is the exclamation part that he's going
to
stick on.
And he has a chance to win $1 million.
Yeah.
He needs to get some stuff done in the go rounds, but he came in tonight with 908,000. He's going to get an average check in the bull riding. Right now he's in the average in the bronc ride, but he needs to win high money up in the go rounds to be over $1 million. All right, coach.
Okay, when I was looking through this, there's a couple guys that I think are riding really good right now that I really like in this round. One of them is Basin Moody. I really like how he's been riding this whole week. Really tempted to pick him. But TJ Gray's got so much on the line. And last year, didn't he come into the finals number one?
Yep.
Came in number one, and he kind of struggled. And this year, he's been like nobody's really talked about him, and he's rode really good. I mean, obviously, people are talking about him now. So I think I'm going to go with TJ Gray.
Well, you can't, you know, you guys left me Kai. After what Kai did last year, how could you not bet against him? That bull, Badlands, they rode the other night to win second, 89.5. Hudson Bolton, he's got shot in the dark. He's going to ride that bull.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt. If I was getting on a bull, he is the bull I'd get on. He's a big old muley. He's cute. He's not going to hit you with his horns. I just don't know if it's enough. Colorado McKay's got Deal Me In, the bull at JR, won this round on last year. He's got four bulls down. He's got five bulls down at his first NFR. Looking at see where he's in the buck list. He's the gunner. I don't know if I like that. I tell you what, I do like that. He's going to set the pace. He's going to jump out. He's going to ride Deal Me In, and he's going to get his first go-around victory. All right, gentlemen, closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. I always hate the day after the NFR because you, for 10 days in a row, you get to watch NFR and every day there's a new storyline, something to be excited for. And you get to watch the best contestants on the best athletes. And then tomorrow's always kind of like, I guess now I got to go back to watching football. I'd way rather watch rodeo than football. I know earlier we were saying, you know, you kind of pointed out some things that haven't been up to par maybe to what everybody wants for standards. But like I always tell my rodeo team, I'm like, we can focus on the negative things or talk about the negative things. And the more you focus on them and talk about them, bigger that gets, more attention on that. But there's so much awesome stuff going on at this rodeo that I think, you know, I'm excited about rodeo. I'm excited about where it's going. I can't wait to see who the world titles are going to get awarded to tonight. And I, you know, a lot of these guys I have rodeoed with, especially the steer wrestlers. I know most of them. I've known them for a long time. And just cool, so cool to be able to see those guys living out their dreams. And I want to thank you for having me on the show and being out, able to be out here all week. So that's what I got.
Tio, you know, this is a, dreams are going to be made tonight and dreams are going to be shattered. You know, people are going to lose world titles tonight. People are going to get world titles. People are going to build on their legacy tonight. You know, this is the best night in rodeo. You know, you're going to truly get to see the cream rise to the top. We're going to get drama. But at the end of it, you know, you're going to see people on that stage and you're going to see true raw emotion of what it means to fulfill a lifelong dream, whether it's your first one, whether it's your 10th one. You know, being a champion in rodeo is fantastic. I mean, it's truly a once in a lifetime opportunity. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to get that gold buckle. I hope everyone lays it on the line tonight, every event. Just go at it because you don't know when the last time you're ever going to get to compete inside the Yellow Arena. And, you know, I'm thankful that this was a pretty safe NFR for the most part. There's only been a handful of injuries. And I just hope everyone travels home safe. And when they're done, I hope everyone gets better.
Right.
Go back home, study, do what you're supposed to do. Be better. We'll have a great year next year because we'll never see the same 120 contestants back here again.
No. Tim, I say this, I mean this with all due respect. I hope you're not sitting here next year.
Same.
I hope that you are in the Thomas and Mack inside those yellow buck and shoots going for a fifth world title.
Fourth
world title. Sorry, fourth world title.
Maybe he's trying to rub that in.
He could win the all-around too, maybe.
Yeah.
There was a year I could have won the all-around. I had more money won than the all-around champion in the bareback riding.
But you didn't have another event.
I didn't have another event.
You've been a great asset to the show for the last 2 years, but you know that I want you inside those buck and shoots. And
it's been a long time. You know, I thought I was ready last year. It turns out I was not, you know. But, you know, God's put a crazy path to me this year with all the media stuff. You know, like, that's the one thing. Rodeo's not – I tell people this now that I've, you know, I tell kids that come to schools too, you know, bareback riding is not for everybody, but rodeo is. And to have an avenue and, you know, I've had to think about retirement a lot over the last 2 years. You know, Tandy told me, he goes, this groin tear, it's a death sentence to most people. And he goes, you're going to lose 2 years, but like, I think we got you back. He goes, but most people aren't willing to do what it takes to come back from that. And it's a death sentence to most bareback riders' career, how bad I tore it. But it's found me an outlet. I've thought about the retirement side of it and thinking, you know, my whole life has been involved in rodeo and I didn't know what my next chapter of life would look like without it. Cause I'm not going to raise bucking horses. You know, my life outside of this, it doesn't revolve around it. And I was thinking, you know, it's going to be a sad day when I hang my spurs up for the very last time. And to have the opportunity and people believe in me to do the broadcast and come on this show and now to get to do the openers and the Parodio Lives, you know, it's found, you always dream about, you know, what Jeff and Butch and Joe B and all them guys got to do. And like, it'd be cool to do that one day, to get that opportunity. You know, I'm truly thankful for the people that believed in me, but I'm coming back in a full force. I'm not going to push things like I did last year. I'm going to listen to my body, but, you know, getting on 3 weeks ago in Uvalde and not having pain for the first time and since the first opening round at Denver in 2023. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. And we've talked about it, and you said you're going to kind of rodeo different too.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be smart. I can't force the issue. You know, I tried to force the issue a lot last year. You know, I entered guys as decoys at them big winter rodeos, and people found out, you know, like, God's got me taken care of one way or another. It's going to work, and it's going to work on his plan, and the cream always rises to the top, and I'm just ready for what 2026 has in store for me.
Well, we all are. We're all Montana State University Bobcat fans. We're all Tim O'Connell fans. So, gentlemen, thank you guys for an amazing week. Thank you for tuning in at home on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for attending live and in person here. Pro Rodeo Game Day presented by the 75th Annual World's Famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale. Visit the crew in Miles City, Montana, May 14th through the 17th. Thanking our friends at the 8th Annual PRCA Extreme Bears and Bronx, March 27th and 28th in 2026 in Watford City, North Dakota. Thanking Stan and Ada for joining us today. Your round recaps this week brought to you by our friends at Ranch and Company Interiors. Visit them downstairs in booth 839. Custom-made furniture. If we can build it, if you can dream it, we can build it. This stock report brought to you by Smith Pro Rodeo, 11-time PRCA Stock Contractor of the Year, and Wildside Rodeo Company Picks of the Night. Chase Love and Caleb Barrett, thank you, gentlemen, for stepping on board. If you don't have tickets to the rodeo tonight, come out and see us at Rump's Rodeo Party with Justin Rumford and myself at the Horseshoe Hotel and Casino at 515 in the Indigo Lounge. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see everybody in 2026.